Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it, especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to a very special holiday edition of TFL Talking Trucks podcast. We drove a lot of pickup trucks this year.
Thank God.
And big SUVs. And how about we look back and pick our best and maybe the worst?
There's a worst?
Yes.
Really? Yeah, I like that, Andre. How should we organize this?
Well, I think we should go really, first of all, last 12 months of time, you know, brand new vehicles, brand new pickup trucks,
so
and SUVs.
So we can't talk about his old Cummins.
So we cannot talk about old Cummins.
Well, then what am I here for?
Yeah, it's not in contention.
Yeah.
It's not the case.
We cannot talk about what happened in 2023.
Right.
Okay. We cannot say that. And also, we can organize it by classification. Really, the tiniest pickups to the biggest and the heaviest.
Yeah, and for those of you who are listening, there are three of us on this podcast because it's a special holiday episode.
And we're on our couch.
Yeah, but for those of you who are watching, we've got two cameras, so I don't know which one to look at.
I think we look at that one.
Okay.
No, this one, or that one.
No, that one I think is the main one. That's not the main one. All right, well, let's rock it, huh? Start with,
Compact.
Compact trucks.
Yeah, compact, mini trucks.
There's only three trucks in the compact segment.
Yes, well,
come on.
Three?
Yes, I figured it'd take a while. Yeah, three.
Wait a minute, are you talking about the Honda Acty?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, we can't.
The K-trucks.
We cannot talk about K-trucks. Actually, maybe we should.
We should talk about K-trucks.
They're very controversial, actually.
And they're very compact.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the Ford Maverick, Roman.
Well, let's talk about the K-trucks, then we'll get to the Maverick.
Okay.
So, as you guys know, right, we bought an Acty, which is, there's a segment, let's take a huge step back for all you guys who don't know. There's a huge, I think that's probably, in some ways, the biggest truck news of the year, that these guys who are driving like HD Silverados are now switching to little Japanese K trucks. So in Japan, they have a segment of vehicle called K, and they have cars and trucks, right? And the rules are...
I mean, in little vans.
Little vans.
Yes.
And the rules are it has to be 600 cc's or less, and it has to, I don't know what size-wise it is, but basically they get taxed a lot less than a regular full-size car. And so there are these really great little trucks built by, ours is a Honda, called the Acty. They're all-wheel drive. But the cool thing about them is they've got these giant beds. So you've got this little tiny truck with a little, in ours, the engine is actually mounted in the bed.
Yeah, it's mid-mounted.
Yeah, Subaru does one, I believe.
Suzuki,
yep.
Yep, yeah.
Daihatsu,
yeah.
And most brands in Japan have one.
And a lot of Americans are falling in love with these things because, A, they're super kind of fuel efficient. They're certainly unique.
Yeah, they're fun to drive.
They're fun to drive.
And also capable. They can carry a heavier weight.
Right, so they've got huge payloads. But the cool thing is, like, on ours, the sides fold down.
Yeah.
And then, like, Tom uses it to take the garbage out because it's super easy, right? You don't have to lift it over like a lifted, tall truck.
F-350?
Exactly, yeah.
It's like a side-by-side that could theoretically be street legal, but a lot of states are being...
Yeah, and then the reason they're in America is after 25 years, there's this 25-year-old.
You can import them.
You can import them.
Yes.
And the Wall Street Journal just did a story basically saying how there's a lobby that's trying to outlaw them. And we can guess who probably is in the lobby.
And there's a different lobby trying to in-law them.
In-law them?
Yeah, exactly.
Technical word.
But what they're
make them legal.
But what they're saying is this happened in Michigan where people had already registered them, and all of a sudden they got a...
retroactively.
Yeah, get them deregistered.
Well, there are a couple of problems. that people who are against them say? Well, first of all, you know, safety, right? You're on a highway, on a road with F-350s and Chevy 3500s and Ram
Cummins
3500s.
But I also ride motorcycles, so I'm not sure that the safety argument holds up there.
Exactly. Or Model Ts. You also drive Model Ts.
Yeah, 1915 Model T with no seatbelt.
So, there's emissions question.
Yeah,
here,
from
well.
A 600cc.
Yes. Like a motorcycle.
Right, right.
Yes, there's an emissions question there, too.
But, I mean, let's face it, your feet are the crumple zone.
Yes,
and they're not strictly safe.
But you do have seat belts. I mean, they have a lot, you know, all the features that
Absolutely.
You might expect.
Yeah. And you know, people are falling in love with these things because they're cute, they're capable, they're thrifty, and, you know, people in government are trying to outlaw them. And then the people who love them are saying, like you said, hey, I ride a motorcycle or Model T. That's much more, our Jeep, right, our 1945 original Jeep.
Also no seatbelts.
Also no seatbelts, right. These classic vehicles are much more dangerous than these low-K trucks. So in some places, like Texas, they're illegal. In Colorado, it's kind of a question. I've seen people, you know, actually ours is not titled because of that.
Yeah, so we here just in Colorado, you can get like the vans or some of the cars registered, but the trucks specifically, it could be the exact same vehicle, but if it's the truck version of it, versus like the van version, then you're gonna have a hard time getting
it registered.
It's
kind of like this leftover chicken tax deal, right? Because it's like it depends what the use case for the vehicle may or may not be. So it's quite complex.
Yeah,
we haven't registered just because it's so useful just around the ranch.
Yeah.
So if you have a big property, you can zip around on that thing. And you don't have.
And how much do we pay? Like
$6,000.
So if you had like a little side by side, which could be $15,000, $20,000, or $40,000.
Yeah.
This is $6,000, and it's very useful, and also four-wheel drive. Ours is four-wheel drive.
Man, it's awesome.
Yes.
Actually, it's all-wheel drive, Andre. It's all-wheel drive
all the
time.
Or is it four-wheel? Doesn't it say 4WD on it?
It
Why
also
are we
says
talking about K-trucks for so long?
12-valve.
Yeah, it does.
Because they're cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the seriously compact truck. But if we move to new vehicles from this year, which is kind of our bread and butter, that's most of what we do.
All right, so let's talk about the Maverick and let's talk about the Santa Cruz. So the Santa Cruz got a facelift.
Yes. So the Santa Cruz now has tow hooks poking out in the front bumper.
Which we
like. They redesigned the grille, they redesigned the front headlamps. But you know what? If you put a new Santa Cruz versus the previous year, it's kind of hard to tell apart, right? It's not a big change.
Paint the tow hooks red.
You can do that too.
And the Ford, of course, big announcement. And let's be completely transparent here. We've got one coming any day now.
We ordered one.
That finally you can get the Maverick with the hybrid, which they had all along in the Escape.
They always had the hybrid.
Right, which is...
But all-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive, yes. So the Escape hybrid was available, which is basically the chassis and the engine powertrain for the Maverick. But for the longest time, you couldn't get a hybrid and all-wheel drive, which is a shame because they forced you to get the stronger engine, the bigger engine, but it got much worse fuel economy.
Exactly. Yeah. So now you can combine a little bit more towing with a hybrid powertrain, which is very efficient, and also all-wheel drive capability.
What What are we looking at officially? You remember what the MP?
How much?
Yeah, on our all-wheel drive hybrid.
I think it's around 40 city and like 38 highway.
Which is pretty impressive combined for a truck.
Yeah, and it's got a 4.5-foot bed. It's quite useful, lots of payload. Like 1,400 pounds of payload, which is more than most mid-sized trucks that are bigger.
And it's affordable. So we were originally going to get just a base truck, right? The
XL. We had a huge fight.
We had a huge fight because I wanted to get the XLT.
Yeah.
And you wanted to get the
XL with Steelies.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And Tommy wanted the heated seats and the and the heated steering wheel, which wasn't available on anything below the XLT.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting the XLT.
With a couple of additional packages.
For like $34,000,
I think? It's like 35-ish.
Yeah.
They started about 27, but that's front-wheel drive only.
Right.
All-wheel drive costs a little bit. Then towing package costs a little bit more. And then, of course, XLT and heated seats and some tech costs a little bit more. So that's about 35.
Remember when they first came out? They were 19, I believe?
19,999 before destination.
For a hybrid with great fuel economy. Still front-wheel drive, but...
Yeah. But there's a catch, Andre, which we figured out when we were configuring ours.
You cannot get an FX4 or a Tremor version.
Yeah, because we wanted the off-roady one.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Ford decided, once again, that you can have, this time, the hybrid and the all-wheel drive, but you can get the hybrid and all-wheel drive in the off-roady one.
Yes.
Why did they make that?
So
well,
why, seems Ford, a little arbitrary. Why are you doing that?
I don't know.
Because we'll put off-road tires on ours.
You know that.
Yeah, we're gonna 100%. First thing we'll do is we'll slap all terrains on it.
But Ford is on track to sell almost 150,000 of these this year in 2024. So they're very successful no matter what choices you know they're making. And I think people are loving these more affordable small pickups.
Well, the other big news around the Maverick has been as well the Lobo.
Yes, that's coming out as well.
Yeah, so we were just at the LA Auto Show, and they had the Lobo there. So we got hands on. They also had the all-wheel drive, which you know, it looks like a regular Maverick.
Unless you
but the
hand.
Lobo is cool because they got rid of one of the gears. They did.
There's a trend to get more and more gears, and Ford said, you know what? We're going to cut one gear.
That's because it's quicker that way.
Yeah. So it's pretty funny. Actually, the Lobo Maverick is lowered a little bit. So there's also a trend to lift everything, right? Make it taller and taller and taller. So Ford is kind of taking a step in the slightly the other direction. They lowered it for the Lobo street truck, gave it more performance. They said they went through their performance bin. You know, they grabbed the brakes from here and, you know, some tuning from there and a limited slip rate differential, you know, from the Tremor, and they made it into a Lobo.
I thought that's the one that we were getting.
No.
We're not getting a Lobo.
So let me ask you this.
Wait, you cannot get a hybrid Lobo. It has to be a turbocharged.
Which makes sense.
So here's what happens, right? The reason they got rid of one of the gears is because if you're trying to go quickly, right, you got to build up turbo boost. But if you have a lot of gears, it's like you build up turbo boost.
And then you have to shift.
You lose the turbo boost. You build it up again. So if you get rid of gears, you can keep the turbo on the boil and tell the vehicle goes faster. But let me ask you guys this.
Yes.
Given the fact that we did get the all-wheel drive hybrid, mm-hmm. but in a perfect world, what would you rather get? Would you rather get the Lobo or the one we got? Let's start with you, Case.
Living out here, I think the one that we spec'd does make sense because we get obviously a lot of snow, having a little bit of extra clearance. Also, if you want to go hit a fire road, maybe go to a campsite.
But in LA.
Yeah, but if we live someplace.
Nathan,
exactly.
Nathan lives in Los Angeles.
If we were on the coast, milder weather.
Yeah.
What about you?
I agree. I would have gotten the one with Steelys.
Yeah.
I was fighting for that.
Yeah.
You know, the most affordable pickup that you can buy.
But here's the problem with the Steelys, right?
What?
The interior is so drab, right? Have you ever seen the interior on that thing?
No.
Oh, my God. It's like a sea of black and gray. Whereas when you go up
plasticky.
To the...
It's really plastic. I mean, it's affordable. What do you expect? Leather?
When you get up to the XLT, they do like color contrasting interiors.
Right. Yes.
So ours is going to be the eruption green.
Exterior,
which is cool.
Yeah, with nice touches on the inside.
Have we
nice
bought a green car? I don't think we've ever. Have we owned a green car?
I was trying,
15 years has TFL ever owned?
We've had so many.
Maybe a used vehicle, but never a brand new vehicle.
What was a used vehicle? I can't think of.
Well, isn't some of these?
We have a green vehicle right now.
We have a green vehicle right now.
The Jeep, the old Jeep.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, the wheelies is green.
The wheelies is green,
There you go.
We do have a green
It's a slightly different green.
Military
green.
Yeah.
It's military green.
Yeah,
totally.
And you know what? The Defender's green, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like lime.
That's right, no, the car you're driving almost every day.
Pangea green.
Open. Yeah, I'm not
Patagonia,
I like the eruption,
Pangea.
Eruption green.
Yeah.
That's what I go
So we have owned green vehicles.
Yeah,
we own two of them right now. Okay.
So we haven't driven the new Lobo yet. By the way,
And you guys have walked around it. I haven't even got to see it.
Yeah, so I went to Detroit. I did some stuff there. We went to Los Angeles. We saw some stuff there. But we still need to drive these.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can actually vote for this one as the best or worst quite yet.
Here's my question.
Fair.
Why? So the Santa Cruz, right?
Yes.
Hyundai also has a hybrid powertrain.
And they're not putting it into
in
the Santa Cruz.
Cruz.
And also the XRT, that off-roady kind of all-terrain model of the Santa Cruz, it's kind of a mild upgrade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it feels more appearance than...
Yeah, I mean, they give it tires, right? You know, quite good tires, but I wish they would lift it up a little bit more and just make it a little bit more macho.
Something along the lines of some of what Honda is starting to do with the Trail Sport.
Yeah,
they're getting
that a little bit more macho
skid plates.
And macho and macho.
Yeah,
yes.
Have some pretty serious all-wheel drive systems.
So, but why haven't they done that? Why haven't they, you know, with their direct competitor doing it, why? And I think I may have a reason for that. Have you, remember when we did that video?
I think it takes a time and money investment.
What's the new the new truck that the Hyundai group is building that we're supposedly not getting?
Oh, the Tasman?
The Kia Tasman.
Yeah, the Kia Tasman. I've been watching a lot of videos about that, and I got a feeling it's coming, guys. I think it's coming to America.
I disagree.
Do you know why? Where is it manufactured?
So chicken tax.
Yeah.
So in order for the Kia Tasman to come here, it has to be built in North America. And as far as I know, they're building it overseas now for Australian and Asian markets, right?
Yeah.
So they have to have some sort of factory. It's a body-on-frame truck, which is good.
I think we're transitioning to mid-size trucks.
We are transitioning in a very clever way. Thank you, Roman.
You're welcome.
We're transitioning to mid-size body-on-frame vehicles now. And if they can't get a factory going in North America, they wouldn't be able to sell one here.
Well, and this is also a very competitive truck market where
they have to fight against the Tacoma.
Yeah, and people are very brand specific. So Kia coming in trying to compete would be tough, as Nissan has found out.
Well, so Trump has threatened tariffs on any vehicle coming into America.
Yeah, so outside of the continental, you know.
Even
the United States.
He's saying, he's saying
just the continental United States.
Exactly. Our Maverick was built in Mexico.
Yeah.
Thank God it's here.
Yeah.
Well, it's not here yet.
Well, no, but it's here in
America. We don't have it in our hands.
This has officially been imported. We know that.
Under the wire.
Just under the wire. But what would that do? Would that make the Tasman more, you know, if everything has to go up 25%, maybe
it'll be less likely. Because it'll be more expensive.
Well, okay, let's play a scenario, right? Let's say that Trump does impose 25% import duty on Mexico and Canada, which would raise prices of trucks by 25%.
Yes.
Then bring a Tasman in, which is already paying at 25%.
Prices on all of them.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Unless we don't know.
You know what else is built in Mexico?
What?
Every Tacoma.
Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
So that's a tough situation.
A lot of heavy duty trucks.
Yeah.
Every heavy duty Ram is built in Mexico. Power stroke engines for Ford are built in Mexico. I don't know if that counts. That must count. So this is going to be an interesting next year. Next year is going to be quite interesting and quite unpredictable.
But as for this past year,
I'm saying if you want to buy a vehicle, buy it now. Right, there's great incentives out there now.
Yeah, that's true.
The manufacturers are doing best year-end incentives. Always happen at the end of the year. So if you guys are looking to buy a vehicle, do it now. I wouldn't wait till next year. I think it's going to get interesting. And by interesting, I mean expensive.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's list the mid-sized vehicles we drove this year, which were new.
Okay.
2025 Nissan Frontier is updated. We have the new Tacoma, and we owned one this year, so just a few months back. We called it Blueberry. Also the Ford Ranger, including the V6, Raptor. Right? The regular V6, and also the Ranger Raptor, which we actually own. We own the Ranger Raptor. And BYD Shark.
Which is an interesting story.
We drove one.
Yeah, you drove the BYD Shark.
In El Paso, Texas.
Should we start with the Frontier?
Sure.
Now, Tommy and I were actually just in Nashville. We did a small event with Nissan, and the vehicle that they gave us to get around town in was a Frontier.
Was this the new 2025 model?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, though. And I have a question for you, Nissan.
What?
So one of the reasons we are so excited that you guys got the Frontier was we have this little, like, arm that we put in the hitch that we put a camera on, and we get really good car-to-car shots.
Sure.
Except, for some mysterious reason, your truck didn't have a hitch. Why would you build a truck without it?
It's always a little strange when you see a truck that doesn't have a hitch.
I get why you would build it without a brake controller. I can see that. But a hitch?
Yeah, maybe parts
shortages. How expensive is a hitch?
The only time I've seen pickup trucks with no hitches, and this is usually like mid-sizers, we're talking about like Colorados or Canyons,
Frontiers.
They're rentals.
Yeah.
That's the only time I've seen it. Like, if you go to, like, a Hertz.
Which makes sense. They might not want people towing with a rental truck.
Yeah, maybe they don't want people towing, and you save, you know, $200 maybe by not installing a hitch on that truck. But really, I mean, every pickup should have a hitch.
I mean, that's what they do, right? They tow and they haul. You can't tow without a hitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really shocked by that.
I'll tell you what is still good about the Frontier, though, for people that loved the old school Tacoma but are maybe not sure that they want to go into a turbo four-cylinder powertrain, having the more traditional V8 powertrain in that Frontier.
Or V6, yeah.
Not V8.
I wish,
that would have been rad.
I wish it was a V8.
Yeah,
actually.
More traditional V6, rather, is a nice option to have there on the market because a lot of vehicles are moving toward turbo four-cylinders.
Yeah, and they have a 9-speed automatic, which is actually quite good.
Yeah.
So when you combine that V6 with a 9-speed, which actually came from the Titan, it's actually a pretty robust system in the Frontier.
Yeah, so the Frontier now almost feels like a better third-gen Tacoma, which I think is something that
those are fighting words. I thought that's a pretty strong statement.
Third-gen.
I think I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Good.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
So they changed the interior on most new Frontiers. You know, they made the screen a little bit larger, a little bit more modern. They changed the front end. But once again, they didn't go far. If you look at the new 25 Frontier versus the previous one, they're almost identical looking. So it's not a huge update. And also no hybrids.
Yeah.
So I think if Nissan wants to really make inroads and really fight against the others, I think they should offer more powertrains. Just choices, you know, more choice.
I mean, does Ford offer with the Raptor?
Well, also, with the Ranger.
Raptor, 2.7 V6, and then a 4-banger.
So three.
So three.
Yeah.
I think Toyota has several, too. They have kind of the base four-cylinder turbo, the regular four-cylinder turbo, and the hybrid. So they also have three.
GM only has one, four-cylinder turbo, high output now.
Yeah, they've switched all high output all the time now.
Yeah. I don't know, guys. I'm kind of two minds, you know. Half the time, I kind of love and miss the fact that, you know, the V6, I actually like the Pentastar a lot, the Stellantis product. I find that they were very reliable. But at the same time, they're all thirsty, right? Those are very thirsty engines for the amount of power they put out. I'll give you an example. So we have this Defender. We were talking about it, you know, being green. That's got a 2-liter turbo that puts out 295 horsepower.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing. And part of me, I'm an early adopter, and part of me is like, hey, I love the fact that we've got this crazy cool technology now that allows for a lot of power and relatively good fuel economy. And the Defender, I just drove it to Phoenix. I averaged like 21 mpg.
And that's a tall vehicle.
That's a tall off-roady with big off-road knobby tires on it. And so part of me like misses the old reliability of the V6, but part of me loves the power and the fuel efficiency of the four-cylinder. Well, so it's like weird because like this internal conflict, right? I want the old school, but yet the new stuff is pretty cool.
And to the credit of these turbo powertrains that are starting to replace the old school naturally aspirated V6s, you do get more low-end torque, which for me, especially towing too, when we're hooked up to a trailer and none more so than being in the mountains, that low-end torque is nice because towing with the Frontier, you're revved up quite a bit to pull you and a trailer uphill on I-70 at high elevation with steep grades versus the turbo powertrains that just feel more confident, and feel like they've got more low-end torque so that they don't have to be screaming at the top of the tack the entire time.
Which
so,
could be 6,000 RPM.
Yeah.
So in a lot of cases.
Which gets annoying.
We are going to be going 6 hours at this rate because we haven't even gotten the Tacoma or the Ranger.
Tacoma, well, if you've been watching TFL Truck, I think we discussed Tacoma ad nauseum, right? So we can maybe skip around a little bit. Ford Ranger is interesting. Because
let's just talk about the biggest problem for me with the Tacoma.
Yeah, what's that?
Is rear seat. And
how about price?
Price is it's gone up,
especially on the Trail Hunter and on the TRD Pro.
Huge prices.
Almost $10,000 more than the Ranger Raptor.
Yeah,
but my biggest issue is just there's not enough back seat room. Like they didn't for some. I mean, what Toyota will tell you is that they wanted to keep the vehicle short enough so it fits in an average garage.
Yes,
but somehow that rear. Seat room is just not up to the competition.
But they fixed the front seat.
The front seat room?
They completely fixed the front seat
issue. Unless you have those isodynamic TRD seats. And then there's,
literally no back seat.
It's just for the dogs, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my biggest issue with it, I think. And the price. And I think they can do that because always in any survey, the Tacoma is one of the highest appreciating or least appreciating vehicles out there. So it just holds its value.
It has the reputation. Yeah. I mean, it's been around a very long time and it has a reputation.
So what you pay up front, you kind of feel like you're going to get out of it when you sell it.
But then when we move to the Ford Ranger, the standard Ranger is great. We like the powertrains, especially 2.7.
We owned one previously.
Yeah, yeah. And you tested the 2.7 in the new Ranger and had good experience with it.
Yes.
But the Ranger Raptor that we bought new and that we've taken off-road several times, starting at $55,000, that Ranger Raptor is super quick, front and rear locker, so it's a great rock crawler. It's a fun truck to drive. I would say if you kick that sideways in the dirt, it's every bit as fun, if not more fun, than the full-size Raptor, even the Raptor R, my opinion.
And it's also stealthy, so like, a lot of people don't, they think it's a regular Ranger sometimes. You know, it's kind of flies almost under radar in most situations.
Right.
And it's really awesome except for one thing, towing capacity.
Yeah.
They did not give this, I mean, the towing capacity of the Ranger Raptor is quite a bit lower than the regular Ranger by about 2,000 pounds.
Yeah.
It kind of had to be that way, I guess, because of the suspension system and the cooling.
I think it came from Europe, right, in Australia.
Well, it was originated in Australia, of course.
Yeah, so it's kind of a import in some ways. I'm not saying it's built there. I'm just saying the design and the
tuning of it.
And the tuning of it is and in Europe especially, they have a lot less tongue weight. So you don't necessarily max out a truck as quickly because here in America, we tend to use a lot more tongue weight. So you can have a lower potential payload for towing without maxing out the truck's ability to tow. And I think that might be one of the reasons. My biggest issue with the Ranger is it's just a little, and actually all of the Ford trucks right now, they're just a little too modern, you know what I mean? Instead of being like square jaw and butch and like really like brawny, they're almost too like...
Sophisticated?
Yeah, that's a good word. You know what I mean?
I could see that with the regular Ranger.
Yeah,
because it has a plastic front cover.
Sure.
The Raptor doesn't. The Raptor has a steel bumper.
For me, the Ranger Raptor still looks square-jawed because of the wide body.
Yeah, the Raptor stuff does, but the regular truck just is a little too...
That's fair.
A little too not trucky enough for my... Right? I mean, when you think about the Ram, right, they took a semi-truck and made a pickup truck out of it.
Exactly.
The design language. They didn't actually take a pickup.
Yeah.
And the V6 was very impressive. I'm talking about the 2.7 liter V6 twin turbo Ranger. It almost has no place and also every place to be there. I mean, because the four cylinder turbo in the Ranger is so good, the Raptor is so good at what they do, and the V6 kind of is in the middle of them. But I really love the performance and the efficiency of that. Really cool.
So let's talk about the BYD Shark very quickly. We are really running out of time.
One of our most popular videos and reviews this year was the BYD Shark.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. Like, what's the difference between a plug-in hybrid and a range extender? I mean, they're kind of the same thing, right? One has a bigger battery and one has a smaller powertrain. But they're kind of two bookends of the same thing. And of course, the BYD Shark is a range extender. But the problem is it's not coming here, as far as I know, With Trump has definitely said that he's going to tax the bejesus out of anything Japanese, both in terms of vehicles and battery technology.
Or Chinese.
Chinese.
Yeah.
It's going to be the forbidden fruit for a long time, unless you buy one in Mexico and drive it up.
Okay, so it was quite impressive. Tommy and I went out there to Texas, and thank you to one of our viewers who actually owned one and actually invited us there. And it was super impressive, except it didn't feel like the suspension was a little bit bouncy, like it wasn't, like the suspension didn't feel like completely baked. And maybe some of the like regen and acceleration didn't feel completely baked, but the technology worked and like it was comfortable, it was relatively quiet. But it's probably not coming here, but it's still interesting to see.
It is definitely interesting, but probably something that will remain forbidden fruit.
So let's pick our favorite midsize truck of the year. Andre, you start.
The 2.7 V6 Ranger.
Ranger Raptor.
Not the Raptor.
I'm Ranger Raptor.
What? Really?
100%.
I'm Ranger Raptor.
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun, and it's the most value for money. That's a top dog Ford, and you compare it to, let's say, the Trail Hunter or the TRD Pro Tacoma, it's $10,000 less. At $57,000.
It starts screaming value, which, you know, $55,000 is not a small amount of money for any vehicle, but the amount of performance that you get out of it and compared to, the TRD Pro and the Trail Hunter.
But do you guys have a boat to tow? Do you guys have boats?
All of us have boats.
I have a little tiny sailboat, but you don't really need to tow it.
Yeah, but we'll hang out on your boat.
Because my V6 Ranger will take it there, okay?
We'll drive the Raptors.
And then you also compare it like to the AV Canyon, right? And that's also $10,000 more.
Yeah, it is.
So if you go like apples to apples, top dog Chevy or a GMC versus top dog Toyota versus top dog Ford. Yeah. Ford is just head and shoulders cheaper. And you get the same stuff, right? Lockers front and rear.
Yeah. Well, and you can get a Colorado ZR2 for less than the Raptor, but...
You could, but you have a four-cylinder turbo in the Bison, right?
Yeah.
The Colorado ZR2 Bison. And those, you were talking about the engines, old versus new tech. Those four-cylinders are still a little bit buzzy. They're not pleasing, right? It's not really pleasing to drive a bus. I had one.
Yeah.
I had the Colorado Trail Boss, and I was never totally pleased with the sound.
But to be fair, on the Ranger Raptor, you can change that exhaust note.
You could.
And it's all buzzy.
No, but
it still sounds like a V6. Yeah.
But it's less four-cylinder. It's more six-cylinder.
Yeah, it's arguably better.
All right, so full-size. How about we switch?
Yeah, let's go to full-size.
So full-size, not a heck of a lot of new stuff happened, but we did get a refresh for the F-150, so we did get that. So slightly different styling, some more options, more hybrid F-150s. We have a really updated Ram 1500, including the RHO, including the new Rebel truck, new engines. The Hemi is gone.
Yeah.
The V8 is completely gone from the Ram.
It's hurricane season.
Yes. Ram lost the CEO and gained the CEO.
I'll make a bold prediction with Tim Kuniskis, the new CEO of Ram.
Yes.
They're going to bring that Hemi back. Hemi is, that's why they're giving away like the F100Es, because you just got one, right?
Yep.
So that they can make up their credits.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So they can bring the Hemi back. So all of you guys out there who are giving Case and Tommy, a lot of crap for getting a Fiat 500E, that is allowing Stellantis to bring the Hemi back. I'm not joking, seriously.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
So go and get yourself a free 500E if you're in Colorado, and then wait a few years and the Hemi will be back.
Wow.
Do you think
it'll come back exactly the same way with a 5.7, or do you think they'll redesign it somehow?
Like you got to update it, because that 5.7 was old.
I mean, it was like 15 years old, if not more. So you have to update it somehow.
I don't know why. No, but like, remember when we had that Tetra, right? That old
I wasn't around for that.
That had a Hemi.
Yeah.
2.5 liter V8 Hemi. Why not make a smaller displacement V8? Does it have to be 5.7?
Why
can't it be a 5 liter V8?
Yeah, so like Ford.
Exactly.
Yeah, Toyota has had like 4.7s. GM had 4.8s. It could be a smaller displacement.
Or you go the 6.2 route like GM.
Or how about the 6.4?
That sounds like a good idea.
How about the 6.4 Hemi?
I think at this point, anybody would love just to have a Hemi.
Yeah,
I don't think the displacement is good. But I think a 5-liter Hemi would be perfect.
That being said, on the subject of new trucks, the Ram RHO does not sound nearly like what the TRX used to sound like.
No.
To me, the RHO sounds almost a little bit like a BMW. But the truck is quick. It is properly quick.
It's surprisingly quick.
And the suspension, phenomenal as it always was. You and I felt like maybe the suspension on the RHO might actually be even better than it was on the TRX.
It seems like Ram engineers, they learned from the TRX, obviously.
Well, wouldn't you account for that by the fact that you don't have this big old heavy, very heavy, supercharged.
Nose heavy.
Yeah, exactly. So now you get a lighter truck, it's going to perform better, it's going to jump better, it's going to get better fuel economy. Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool to have this big old lump of metal in the front with a supercharger producing 700 horsepower, but you shave a couple hundred pounds off of that thing, you're going to get a much better performing truck in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's impressive. And the all-wheel drive system, you know, the transfer case on the new RHO, I mean, it can send more power to the rear, like about 75% of power.
My biggest problem with that,
get it tail happy,
that truck is they didn't do enough, right? Basically, they took the old Ram or the old TRX.
It looks almost the same.
I think they could have, you know, like facelifts aren't that hard. They're not that expensive. They have some great designers over at Ram, and it would have been nice if they had, like, freshened it up as opposed to kind of, I think maybe, you know, saving some money by not changing the look of it. That would have been, you know.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise, because
but
I feel
the price down.
It does keep the price down, but it also keeps, like, your neighbor from getting jealous. And it's nice to have your neighbor jealous when you bring home a new truck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
So yeah, so that lineup is new and we talked about 3-liter. You said it sounds like a BMW because it kind of is a BMW. Well, it's not a BMW, but it's a 3-liter.
It's 3-liter inline six.
3-liter inline six. And also we drove a couple of GM trucks this year, which were slightly updated, but not in a big way. The ZR2 diesel Duramax is, of course, here still. And the AT4X AV diesel as well. And we recently drove the 84, I don't like this name, 84X AV Edition Duramax.
Yeah, which is a great truck. There's a lot of things that it's really good at. It's expensive. The one that we had was a good chunk over $80,000.
No, I think it was 88. It was pushing 88,000.
So really expensive truck, but those 3-liter Duramax powered trucks get an unbelievable amount of range because they get pretty good fuel economy, still a big tank. The AEV edition is cool, AT4X, so selectable front and rear lockers, a lot of underbody protection, which is nice to have because it's not on massive tires, and it is still a fairly long truck, so if you are taking it on a trail, you're probably going to use that underbody protection.
Yes.
When I went off-road with Tommy, we certainly used it, but it's a pretty good all-around truck.
You know what percentage of GM's full-size trucks are the diesel, Andre?
You know, I don't know if they list those numbers, but I think it's near 10%.
Yeah, I think it's
not a huge percentage.
Yeah, a little bit of that could be kind of be careful what you wish for, right? So in a heavy-duty truck, the diesel is obvious.
It's like 70%.
Yeah.
Because, or 80%.
Yeah, and it's a $12,000 option in Ford world. But
people
people want it because it gives you a lot more capability. When you take it down to a full-size truck, a half-ton, the problem becomes that then you have to deal with DEF, you have to deal with diesel cost of repair and maintenance, and all of a sudden, you know, the thing you wanted isn't as attractive as, you know, the thing you had, which is a V8. And so to me, like, a V8 is kind of like french fries with a hamburger, whereas the diesel is like tater tots with a hamburger, right? I want French fries with my hamburger. I don't want the tater tots.
Ooh, I love tater tots.
I kind of like tater tots.
Well, you're the 10%. There you go.
Actually, you know, they're making it more affordable. Like, it used to be an option. Now it's actually the entry level. A lot of the trucks in their lineup GM.
But the cost of running it isn't entry level.
Yeah, no, it's not the entry level cost of running it.
Yeah, but you're getting good fuel economy, and I will say the diesel, not super fast.
No. But dude, you towed the trailer with it.
Oh, yeah.
And we got like 14.5 mpg with the trailer, and that's what an empty RHO gets.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
so which one do you want? Do you want?
Well, we were just towing with our new Silverado HD.
Yes.
Duramax.
Yes.
We got 14.5. Remember, you showed me.
Well with the same trailer, the less. Full size. Yeah, the full size.
But when we towed the smaller trailer, we got the same
14
thing.
And a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had to tow the Range Rover that Tommy bought.
That's why we like diesel.
That's right. That's right.
Because we didn't trust in going down the road. All right, so which of the three would you guys pick? Go for it. Andre?
Dude, I love that AEV truck. Even though it was, you know what? I love AEV. I would subtract the AEV because that truck almost had no payload.
So remember? So you get a diesel non-AEV Bison?
No, a non-AEV 84X.
84X.
Yeah, 84X.
Well, how about a Chevy Bison then? With the diesel.
Same problem. When you add all the skid plating and all the bumpers and everything else to that truck, it ends up with 1,000 pounds of payload.
But that steel is, what do they call that steel? They have a name for it.
Boron steel.
It's boron. Boron, Andre.
I know you're getting boron steel, which is super, super tough and also lightweight, but it still adds weight.
I mean, if I won the lottery, I would go AT4X diesel. AEV, I like the underbody protection because if I am going to run a trail, and if I bought a truck like that, I'd like to.
I'd go RHO.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like the RHO. I think, like I said, it's kind of the perfect light version of a TRX.
TRX light.
Yeah, and
I love a straight six.
Lower calories, right? Just
I might just wait a year, let them figure it out before.
Yeah.
The first year are always a little tricky. All right, shall we move on to the next category?
Yeah, heavy duty, and then we'll end up with SUV and electric.
Yeah.
Also, because we drove a lot of electric pickups this year.
Yep.
We drove quite a few SUVs, and not a lot of actually happened in the heavy duty space. We drove the new 6.8 liter V8 in the Ford Super Duty, which is kind of their entry level engine. We actually purchased a heavy duty truck this year, which is a heavy duty Trail Boss Silverado.
And if you're wondering why we didn't get the Ford, watch the video at where, Andre?
OldTFL.com.
There you go.
That was
and
well
also
rehearsed.
Patreon.com/TFLcar.
Right.
Thank you for your support, as always.
Yeah. If you want to support us, where should they go to?
Right there, patreon.com/TFLcar.
Yep, all right.
Nice plug.
So, you know what? Next year, 2025, the new Cummins is coming out. Yep. We basically know it's going to be a Cummins, and the specs are going to be unveiled in a couple of weeks, you know, in January. And Ford, of course, is not going away. They're still there with their power strokes. So I think next year is going to be hugely important. But I think we know what our best is, at least for me, it's the new Silverado Duramax.
Yeah, we bought one.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a reason we bought it. Yeah, the Trail Boss, I mean, it's first time.
Although the Trail Boss is kind of a cosmetic thing.
Yeah, it's
you know,
still
you're getting
not an
off-road KO3s.
Truck.
Which is nice.
You're getting KO3s, which is amazing. Yeah. You know, great tires.
Yeah.
But everything else is just cosmetic. You know, you're getting tow hooks, you're getting, you know, blacked out badges.
It's not a dedicated off-road truck, but the KO3s, especially in the snow. Nice to have.
It's going to be nice.
My biggest issue with that truck right now is that it doesn't have a 4 automatic. You got to be 2 high or 4 high or 4 low, but you can't just
sit in
auto.
We got a cheapie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because GM, nobody else
cheap.
Does that. But
it was 75,000.
But GM does that, and they didn't put it in our truck.
I know.
At 75,000, come on, GM, give us auto. So we don't have to deal with, like, when it snows here, it snows here, and then it melts, and then, of course, we're in this weird situation where you got some
mixed surfaces. Yeah.
And then it starts to crab. It's just...
Yeah, it would have been nice, GM, if you added an automatic transfer case to all of your heavy duties.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I think that's like the one thing that Chevy could do.
It has cruise control, though.
Yes, it does have cruise control. That would make it stand out above the competition.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, would make it much more convenient for the customer. I think I would take that over some of the other stuff that we got.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so by the way, guys, remember your choices.
Because I'll take that over a sunroof, which we didn't get. So
sunroof, I don't care. Actually.
I don't care either. Yeah. In a truck
anymore.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember your favorites, because at the end of this episode,
we have to pick the one.
We're gonna have to the ultimate.
Okay.
Yeah. Easy.
All right.
SUV.
So,
yeah.
So SUV space is pretty exciting, because almost every SUV has been updated or redesigned or upgraded. So the new, the segment leaders, bestsellers are, of course, GM, right? Tahoe, Yukon. The Escalade, the new one, is not quite out yet, but I was fortunate enough, I went to Texas. Arlington, Texas is where the Tahoe and the Suburban and the GM SUVs are made. So the Tahoe, Yukon has been updated. I just went to Nashville to drive the new Armada. Mm-hmm. That's, they're calling it all new. And I crawled around underneath it, inside of it. It is all new.
Yeah.
New frame, new interior.
Which we don't have there, but I drove the Infiniti version of it. Same vehicle.
Basically. Oh, the QX80. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The QX80 is also updated for this year. The ones we didn't drive is the new Expedition, but it has the same powertrain. You know, it still has the same EcoBoost V6 twin turbo powertrains, as well as the Navigator.
Yeah. We had the Armada here at the office. It's nice. It's a nice interior. It feels like a big update on that. Which
I think it's one of the biggest updates. I think they really like,
and it feels like it, and it looks like it.
Yeah. Plus, they went once again, you know, got rid of the V8, went to a twin turbo V6, as is the way with all things in this world now.
Yeah.
Out of those three, I haven't driven the
Infiniti.
Yeah, the Infiniti. That's the only one. So I really can't comment on the Tahoe or the Yukon or the Expedition or Navigator.
Yeah, we actually tested the Infiniti here as well, the QX80 as well. I'm thinking right now. So you know the other trend here in the SUV space? We're talking about truck-based. We're not talking about like little crossovers or little SUVs.
Yeah, they're built on truck frames.
Is that there's, first of all, more luxury. Also 24s. Almost every one of these SUVs is now rolling on 24-inch wheels with tiny low-profile tires.
Yeah, it makes for a great ride.
Yeah.
But when I drove the new Suburban with Super Cruise hands-free in Texas on a gigantic freeway on 24s, and they dialed it in because it's so heavy and so long, it was actually a nice ride.
I'll tell you what SUV was my favorite that we drove this year that's not on this list.
What?
GLS 600 Maybach.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, but it's not really a pickup-based SUV.
But it's $250,000.
It's a good one. Yeah, it better be a good SUV for over $200,000.
Yes. Actually, that was really good.
It was.
I drove it home. I took it home. It was my birthday.
That's so a good birthday.
I drove it home for one
birthday
day.
It was a nice birthday present.
So that was quite special.
So I can't really comment. Like I say, I drove the QX80 and I liked it.
I think the jury is still out.
Yeah.
Because we need to test the new Expedition. I think we need to bring the new Armada over here, you know, to Colorado, and get a Tahoe out here as well.
Yeah, and it would be great to do a comparison. You can't forget the Jeep, right? It would be great to have.
And the Sequoia is still there. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of competition. The Wagoneer. Yeah. Jeep Wagoneer is now more affordable.
About. Yeah, and they brought the price down because I remember we drove that this year at the Chicago Auto Show. They
it was like $130,000. It was a lot of.
It was over I want to say it was $130,000. I thought it was
or maybe book. Over 115. Yeah, it was a big price tag.
It was a lot.
Yeah,
I think Jeep has figured that out too.
People
and they moved that price down on most of them. So the Jeep Wagoneers. I think my favorite experience in this segment was still in that Suburban, that long wheelbase Suburban, you know, with Super Cruise just cruising down.
And I love that they've still got the V8s.
And they've got a 6.2, and that was my favorite SUV.
All right, well, with the last 10 minutes, we're going to go into your favorite segment, the electric trucks.
Yeah. Yay! Everyone's favorite.
Yay, we saved the best for last.
Yes.
All right, so we've got a bunch, though. In fact, the more new electric trucks here than ever, as opposed to anything else. And it's funny, Case and Andre, you guys know this, but a lot of us, at least in the comments, a lot of you guys, you know, accuse us of like promoting electric vehicles, and we cover what's new, right?
Yeah.
And you know, this is exactly a good example of that.
We're biased towards news.
We have two new HD trucks, kind of, sort of. Really, they're not even new, right? They're just. But we have five new electric trucks, and so even though our coverage may skew toward electric trucks, it's not because we're you know, pushing electric trucks is because that's the new stuff that's come out. And, you know, we try to be fair. So let's go through the electric trucks, Sunday. What are the five that we have?
So really, at the beginning of this year, we purchased the Cybertruck. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we really had, that was a big decision. Yes. I think we did not make it lightly because it was $100,000. It was a big purchase for the company.
Hey, here's a quiz for you guys. How do you make 2 million reservations disappear like that?
You get rid of a $39,000 pickup
and make it $100,000. It's amazing how they evaporate. How you go through 2 million reservations.
So we have that. We can talk about that. Yeah. I mean, we recently just sold it.
Yes.
I put Ram Charger here
because they were supposed to be here.
Because they were supposed to be here,
but they're not.
So we can kind of put it to the side. Silverado EV RST. Did a couple of events. We added here as well. Yep. Sierra EV Denali, also a new pickup related to the Silverado. And R1T, the Rivian R1 lineup is new, even though it doesn't look new.
It's all new underneath.
It's really all new underneath.
Yeah.
That's now, a lot.
All the trucks on this list, we probably talked about the Cybertruck the most because it's the one on this list that we actually owned as a company, and it was arguably the most buzz around maybe any truck this year. Well,
except
definitely
Buzz.
Any. ID
except
Buzz?
Except for the ID Buzz. Or so, maybe the BYD.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
But there was obviously a lot of interest
I'll give you my take on the Cybertruck. You have the situation, like I pointed out at the beginning of the segment, that you've got somebody over-promising and under-delivering.
Yeah.
Which is always bad, right? So Elon came out there and he promised it at $39,000. He promised that it would outsell the F-150.
He said it's the best pickup ever made.
And none of that has
a big claim.
Actually proved to be true, right?
Yeah.
We don't know how many they sold, but certainly nowhere near the amount of F-150s they sell. The price was $60,000 more expensive than he initially stated.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
And, you know, is it the best pickup truck out there? In my opinion, no. I think it's a really good car, actually.
Yeah.
You know, if you called it a cyber car, I'd be much happier than calling it a truck. But having said all that, the other problem is it became extremely politically polarizing, right?
Yeah.
And not just politically, but socially polarizing, because it became kind of the poster child for everything that's wrong with EVs, or if you're a Tesla fanboy, everything.
In the one that we had as a company, we got flipped off in it more times than any vehicle we've ever owned.
Yes, I mean, this or,
day,
you know, that. It was both fingers.
Day,
but also
just
pictures.
Yeah.
People
yeah,
like
true.
To take pictures of it as well.
So some gave you the thumb and some gave you the
other finger.
Which is crazy, because at the end of the day, it's just a piece
just
of
a
metal
vehicle.
With wheels.
Yeah.
It's not a big of a deal.
And actually, we talked a lot about other $100,000 vehicles on this list.
Yeah.
It's not the only $100,000 truck.
So I think the problem is that you've got this vehicle that is a lot of hype and that people have made up their minds about.
Yeah.
Not based on the merits of the vehicle, but based on, you know, whatever their political beliefs are, or whatever their beliefs about Musk are, or whatever their beliefs about EVs are, right? And so you kind of miss the truck that's hiding underneath all that. And to me, the truck that's hiding underneath all that is actually really good, because it did bring a lot of interesting things and new technology to the table. And it got lost in all that, right? Four-wheel steering. Sure, other companies have four-wheel steering. I had a 300ZX that had four-wheel steering, but this is 10%.
So 10 degrees in the back.
Yeah, 10 degrees, sorry. So it makes a truck that is very big and usually cumbersome actually easy to park at the Trader Joe's parking lot, which is the worst lot in Boulder.
Steering by wire, too.
And then you got steering by wire.
Yes.
So now you don't have to turn the wheel more than, like, you know, what, 20 degrees either way. And it's variable steering by wire, so the slower you go, it changes. And at first, that's kind of weird to get used to, but once you get used to it, it becomes very handy.
Yeah.
You've got a truck that had, and this is also smart, dual lockers that were both mechanical.
Yeah.
You can look at the Lightning.
Well, then when they enabled them.
When they enabled them. So once again, over-promising and under-delivering initially.
Yes. Yeah.
But, like, the Hummer Truck, Hummer EV, right?
Has a virtual locker in the back and a physical one in the front.
Rivian, and the physical one in the front is the only one that does anything.
Yeah, Rivian R1T, two virtual lockers. Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't really work the same. Same problem with the Silverado. Ford has a real locker, but only in the rear and the Lightning. And so you actually have a truck that does work sort of kind of off-road. The problem and the potential of it is you can jack up the air suspension to 16 inches of ground clearance, which is amazing. I mean, there's nothing else that gets maybe the Hummer in extract mode. But the problem is once you jack it up, you have no more suspension travel. So, you know, it's kind of like off-roading as a ballerina on tippy toes. It's not exactly comfortable.
It's not comfortable.
No.
Yeah.
And so you know, and then you've, of course, got the material, the way it's constructed. And then you've got Tesla's, which I think is best in the business, infotainment, right? It really integrates very simply with your life. But all that got lost. All that got lost in the hype and in the
hatred. To your point, if you look at it as a vehicle rather than a political statement, because people are either on one side of the fence or the other, they love it or they hate it. If you look at it as a vehicle and not a political statement, there's some things it does well and some things it doesn't do well. Like if you accidentally brush up against it in the wrong way, it can cut your arm open because
that's not so good. That's what happened to Nathan.
Yeah.
I was like, Nathan, why are you bleeding?
I'm pretty sure Zach has a scar from it.
He's like, because I'm reviewing the Cybertruck. I'm like,
exactly. There's things it does well, there's things it doesn't do so well. It was an interesting vehicle to have around.
Yeah, I just did the wrap-up video like a month ago. You know,
by the way, good job on that video.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I really like that.
You know who else did a good job? Alex edited that video.
That was a really good, good job.
And he actually pulled a lot of the videos in, you know, a lot of the data that we did. I loved a lot about the Cybertruck. I didn't talk about cutting myself, but what I disliked it, in real world, it actually charges kind of slowly. You know,
the charging rate is disappointing for an 800 volt architecture.
Yeah, because it's not. Once again, it's under delivering on the promise.
But that's
right?
Because most Tesla superchargers are only the version 4s are capable of providing that much power.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it only charges at like I never got it above 160 kilowatts,
which is actually really poor.
Which is really poor for a vehicle that has
like a Hummer EV can charge at 350 or 360.
I saw 368 on that.
Yes.
Same thing with an Ioniq.
Yes.
So the visibility out of it was pretty poor.
The visibility is poor. And
quality on some
road tripping is sketchy.
Pretty questionable.
And road tripping is poor. Like around town, you know, to go to the ranch and back, it's a great vehicle. But if you want to go to Las Vegas, for example, or Moab, now it becomes a problem, right? So that's where I was on the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
So I think good vehicle, but a lot of serious issues. The other problem with the Cybertruck was you had all these like YouTubers, like talking about Whistling Diesel, right, who just, you know, makes his channel popular by destroying stuff, right? He is destruction porn at its best or worst, depending on what your opinion of him is. But he took the Cybertruck and compared to the Ford, dropped it off of a big rock, the back end broke, and everybody's like, and yet we took it
to Moab twice.
Yeah.
We took it sled pulling.
Yeah, we took it.
We pulled 30,000 pounds with it, and the hitch did not come off.
It did not come off. So I don't know. I mean, it really depends on your experience with it, I guess. But the problem is every influencer and YouTuber, you know,
bought one.
And then you're going to get a lot more views by cutting, you know, carrots with the frunk, right? By sticking a carrot in there than you are by actually proving that you can stick your hand in there and not get a crunch. So, yeah, I think there were people who got their hand crunched. Yes, there are people. But once again, I think this is like everything. There's good and bad, and you're going to get a lot more views with the bad than with the good.
So I was fortunate enough. I went to Seattle to drive the second generation of the Rivian trucks. Once again, they look almost identical.
That's
you know,
a problem.
There's some light changes, you know, the little LED changes.
I mean, there's serious changes underneath, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So when we arrived at the drag strip at the event near Seattle, they had tire warmers on the Rivian R1T.
That's pretty serious.
They were serious. They were checking tire pressures, they had tire warmers. You know, there's people in helmets. And I'm like, wow, this is
serious.
Kind of impressive. So then we got into it. The tires were specific to the quad motor, the new quad motor, four motor system, and they raised the top speed to 130 miles an hour.
You know, I love to go 130 in my pick 'em up truck.
Every day?
Yeah.
Usually those trucks' speeds are limited by tires, right? If you look at their RHO, it's 118.
But if you have tire warmers.
But if you have special tires and tire warmers, you can now go faster.
Look, I love RJ's commitment to like the environment and the active lifestyle. I love the fact that they're putting chargers like Bryce and, you know,
Joshua Tree.
Yeah. I mean, that's so cool. But, dude, I mean, there's a reason the Tri-5 Chevys are all different. And that's because people want to show that they have the new version. And the problem I have, even though underneath they got rid of, you know, tons of copper wire,
they improved the efficiency of the motors. Yeah. They improved the battery packaging.
I mean, it's not to say that it feels like a dated design or a dated interior.
But
it's still
a
very
new,
modern looking and feeling truck. It doesn't feel super new. But it sounds like the updated version of the truck that you drove is better off-road.
Yeah, because the problem was with the quad motor, and also there's now a tri-motor as well for the second generation. And the dual motor system is that, you know, you can get it kind of in a weird situation where electric motors actually hate going slowly.
Yeah.
You know, where this, you're trying to crawl over a rock and the motor is like trying and it's actually heating up.
I'll give you the problem in a nutshell for me. So for 2025, I gave a lot of serious thought to buying one, right? The truck is all new.
Yeah.
And we make money by you guys watching them, right? That's how we make money. If you don't watch the videos, then we can't pay for the truck and we lose money like everybody else because the videos pay for the purchase of the truck. The hard problem I kept running into was no one's going to watch the videos because the truck looks like the same truck from 2 years
ago. Which is fair, especially from a video standpoint.
Yeah. So I went to the event. You know, I knew all the updates they made to the trucks. And I was at the Charger recently, and another Rivian pulled up. And I couldn't tell if it was new old.
Yeah.
Like, I had to look all the way around it in order to figure out which one it was. And I spend every day looking at pickup trucks, and that's how similar they are.
All right, let's keep going.
I also drove the Denali CR-EV.
Yeah, the new GM.
And now we have to pick our favorite. But you guys didn't. You guys didn't drive the CR-EV, Denali.
We drove the Silverado.
But you drove the Silverado, right?
I mean, what those two bring to the table are huge batteries and huge range.
Huge range.
Right, so you're looking at a vehicle by far that even cars that outranges most of them, right? You're looking at over 400 miles of range.
Yeah.
And then that translates to 200 miles of towing.
Yeah, even pulling a trailer. Andre and I did a comparison. I was in the Silverado EV, and we pulled a 6,500-pound trailer over 230 miles.
Which is a box trailer. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a high-profile trailer, and I got over 230 miles before we stopped to recharge.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and I love the Sierra styling more.
Yeah.
I mean, they're almost the same vehicle, right? They have the same batteries. They have some of the same, you know, technology underneath them. But I love the interior in the Sierra EV Denali more. I love the way it looks more. It's a little bit more upright.
Do you like the midgate? You think that's useful? And we've seen it before in the Avalanche, but you like the midgate.
Midgate's cool.
Midgate's cool.
Yeah. Midgate's cool. You know, the problem, what I was afraid of, is it would rattle or make noise or make wind noise. But they actually, in the Sierra specifically...
Well, it's not their first rodeo.
No, they dialed it in. You know, it's actually a pretty good system. The price tag is still high. You know, we're talking about $96,000 or $98,000
for some of these. And you know the cheap one's coming, right?
Yeah, the cheaper ones is coming.
Well,
right
now, the Silverado EV, I think, is starting at $73,000.
Yeah, that's the LT or the WT.
Yeah.
So they have more WTs coming soon.
They're
going to be cheaper. My favorite, considering everything we just said.
And we can't not mention the Ram Rev or the Ram Charger. So those are confusing, right? Because the Charger sounds like it should be the electric one.
It's the range extender.
It's the range extender. And the Rev, right? Range extending vehicle sounds like it should be the range extender.
But it's not. It's all electric.
It's all electric.
Yeah.
That's Ram way. That's okay. That's okay.
And I still have a bad memory of when they rolled out the new electric Ram, and we were there
concept.
In Vegas. Concept.
Which was amazing.
It was so amazing. It had seating for six. It had like a frunk that you could like stick stuff through into the cabin. It had all this really cool, and then they actually roll out the real one, and it looks just like a regular. And I understand that you have to make money, and that's the way to do it. But you can't. I mean, maybe if they had done that, not like 3 months apart. Maybe if they had brought out the concept a year, and then waited a year for the actual production version, we would have all kind of forgotten it.
Yeah.
But 3 months was too short.
That was a tough one.
Yeah, that was a tough one. And then my question is, you know, as far as we know, what does the Rev bring to the table that the Lightning hasn't already done, or the Silverado doesn't do?
Right. They bring huge batteries.
But Silverado has a huge battery as well.
Yeah, but this is bigger. Ram went all the way. We haven't driven it yet, though, so we can't really comment on the rev. But the whole thing is battery, 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 or range extend to go insane distance. The range extended one is supposed to go 690 miles.
Yeah, I mean, that one actually does bring something new to the table.
So that's something
that's
special.
That's the one I'm most excited about. Yeah. And that'll be on our list, of course, next year when we actually get to drive it. But we're looking at that thing coming out maybe this time next year or maybe a little bit earlier, but it's still a year away-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, we're far.
All right. Your favorite EV?
My favorite EV, it's going to be a Cybertruck. I think it brings the most new innovation out of those.
I would go for the Rivian because it's styled a little bit more normally and more to my taste, and it's not as massive as the GM
And you're both
EV
wrong.
Trucks.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Andre. What do we pick?
Sierra EV Denali.
He's so practical.
I know, he is.
picking the trucks that tow the most and furthest.
He's got a boat. He's a boat guy.
Yeah. It's all about his boat. You know. Are you a boat guy? Or?
Yeah.
No, it's not everything about the boat. So here's the thing.
Do you like Yacht Rock? Are you like Steely Dan? Is that?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a Yacht Rock kind of guy.
No. Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett is the only way to go.
Oh, no. He's dead. No Shoes Radio. What's his name? The guy who does No Shoes Radio?
Kenny Chesney.
Yeah, he's the new Jimmy Buffett. All right. So now we picked
Jack Johnson.
Each segment.
You have to get out of
Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
We have to end by picking the one truck of the year that you found.
Above all of them.
Above all. The one truck to rule them all, gentlemen. To rule them all. Which one, Andre? Let's start with
it. It is the BYD Shark. No.
That's not true. You just got to move to Mexico to have it.
Exactly. You know what?
Yeah. One truck to rule them all.
Including SUVs?
Sure. Yeah.
Because we talked about Tahoes and Suburbans.
And GLS 600 Maybach.
Yeah, including Maybach. You could pick the BYD Shark. You have to buy a place in Mexico to buy it.
Yeah.
But
move to Guadalajara.
You know, I was really impressed with the V6 Ranger, not the Raptor. The V6 Ranger. It was quick, efficient.
More than the Taco, huh?
It has more space than the Taco inside. It still doesn't have full-size space, which kind of upsets me a little bit. But I have to go regular Ranger. Regular Ranger.
Okay. Case?
I'd go Ranger Raptor.
It's just so much
fun. Nice.
Wait,
did we almost agree? We almost did.
You were wrong, but it's almost okay. It's not the most useful truck on this list. It's one of the less useful ones because it's not a huge bed.
I think it's the most fun to drive.
It's the most fun.
Yeah, most fun to drive and the best value.
Yep, and, on this list.
Yeah, and the most like goodies for your money.
And it's still got a bed and a hitch. You can tow a small trailer. How much does your boat weigh?
6,000.
You could tow that with the Ranger Raptor, barely.
5,500 is the Raptor. So if you are quiet, you could tow it.
Is that
just drain the fuel out?
Yeah, exactly. Is that wet or dry?
Let's go dry. Yeah. Bam.
Take the tower off the boat.
Take the fuel out. You know, the boat has a 45-gallon tank.
Ooh, that's
so if you drain the fuel.
Oh, the fuel tank. Do you have ballast tanks on the boat?
No,
we're getting way off.
We don't have ballast. I don't have. I'm old school.
Okay.
I like natural waves. I don't like ballast.
I kind of feel like that's a lot of credit for Ford. So let's pick our second one. We need to spread the love.
I would go AT4X.
There you go.
The 3-liter AT4X AEV.
Denali EV. EV Sierra.
Really? Interesting.
Dude, it was really good. It was comfortable. It was quick. Of course, electric trucks are quick.
Yeah.
It charges really fast. Even in most cases, I know, you know, it also has supercharger access now, right? So you can come up to a Tesla station.
I'm going to go with the Ram charger.
But it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, but that's what I want. I want the frickin'
range extender. It's the one
you want? Yeah.
Yeah.
If I can't get the Shark, I'm going to go with the Ram.
Yeah, I think Sierra EV kind of, except off-roading.
Yeah.
They did not nail off-roading because it's a Denali and it's not an off-road vehicle.
And huge wheels.
Huge wheels. I would buy EV Denali. I would shrink the wheel, give it a little bit more all-terrain-y tire.
I'm also tempted by the Rivian. I've heard good things about the Rivian.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm really tempted about is the one that we did the video on in after the El Auto show, or before the El Auto show, the little tiny guy.
I'm sorry?
Come on, wake up, Andre. The little guy.
Where am I?
We were in L.A. Rivian? The R13. What's the little
R3X?
Guy?
R3X.
R3X, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That one. Yeah.
No, you save it for the car podcast.
But still.
You got to cool it.
Yeah, got to cool it. Got to save that. But why is it taking him so long to build that damn thing? The Chinese would have had that thing built 2 years ago.
You know what's not on this list that also came out this year? The Scout.
That's true. Yeah, we haven't got to drive the
Scout. Because it's still 3 years away. I mean, come on, Scout.
As far as EV goes, the Scout's the one that I'm the most excited about.
Come on, Scout.
With the range extender.
Yep.
Yeah, hell yeah. We got a reservation on that, as does everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes. Once again, 2 million reservations and nothing.
Yeah.
And nothing to show for it.
Seems like that's got the potential to be a proper off-roader, too.
Yeah. It's not on this list, but we did see it. Tommy did go and check it out.
Whether you like Chinese vehicles, electric vehicles or not, they have rewritten the book on how long it takes them to actually come out with a new vehicle. And I think they can do that because of the electric, right? Electric motors, much simpler, electric batteries, much simpler, so then you can concentrate on
the body.
On the body itself. And the,
but if it takes them a little bit longer and that keeps you from getting stranded in the middle of an intersection because you're in a vehicle that was revealed maybe a little rolled out a little too soon.
Yeah, well, that's the price of being an early adopter.
And it's quite the price to pay.
Yes, it is. Yes. It is. All right. Well, guys, thank you all for watching. Head on over to LTFL.com for more news, views, and real-world reviews. And happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
We're not going to stop testing pickups, by the way.
No.
We're going to continue going.
I don't know why we would.
We have more drag racing. We have more iGauntlets coming up, towing tests.
Off-roading.
Off-roading tests.
We seem to have a Raptor R sitting right there and a Raptor Ranger.
It's looming. Yeah.
We can
Why
see
is there
can.
A Raptor R looming over us?
Because we're going to do a lot with those.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're a couple of lucky kids.
Yeah, yes. A couple of lucky kids with the biggest toys in the sandbox. Yeah.
Nice.
It's true. All right.
Speaking of expensive trucks, the Raptor R.
Yes. 113.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
See you guys next time. Ciao.
Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.